This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. You've sent so many emails to your tax pro and nothing. It feels like you're chasing updates. But now your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax expert, so you actually know what's happening. You can match with an expert and just hand off all your tax stuff to them right in the app. So instead of guessing, you can feel confident your TurboTax expert's on it. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. Only available with TurboTax experts. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app.
Engage in the world. Go find out some new things. Learn some new things. Whether that's the physical frontier or the mental frontier. Take more risk there. Start with what do you have an innate ability to? What's in your DNA? You know, I wanted to play basketball for years. I wanted to dunk. It ain't my DNA, bro. I'm never going to dunk. No matter how hard I worked at it, I was never going to dunk. That's what I wanted to do. So look at what do you have an innate ability for? And then what then are you willing to pursue an education for, work for, hustle for? That for which you have an innate ability for. And if we're going to talk about making a living, is that which you have an innate ability for and now have educated yourself, your talent, to have a talent for? Is that, and how can that be, something that the world demands? Because it's supply and demand. Boy, you can end up doing something you got an innate ability for, plus you become really good at it, and you learn the craft, and the world demands it, and you can supply it. There you go. But some of us have innate ability, but we're not willing to, we don't work for it. We don't improve our skills. We kind of rely on what we got, and it kind of become middle of the field, and sometimes I don't have the ability for it, but I'm going to learn a new craft, and I'm going to hustle at it. And I actually, when we get good at something, we kind of can start to go, oh, I didn't know I loved it. I didn't like this anymore, but I like it now. It starts to feel good to do over and over. I was lost, man. I'm lost. I'm writing 16-page letters to myself, and I'm returning them with a 17-page letter.
About what?
Huge existential questions mixed in with, oh, everything's going great, trying to talk myself into keeping my head up, you know what I mean? And I said, okay, if I can't do what I want to do, I'm going to quit doing what I've been doing. Cut the shit, McConaughey. Quit giving yourself that out, that parachute, even though you may have it. I needed to strong arm myself, put my damn hands on the wheel, look in the mirror and go, it's on you. Because it is time to become a man. Walk forward, peripheral vision, get it. Own yourself, walk forward with more courage, and start becoming the man you want to be instead of acting like it and putting it off. Work at that. Hustle, hustle, hustle. I can't, I hate, and lying were three things that you got in trouble for. So what did I learn from don't say can't? That if you're unable to do something, you can, even if you can't pull it off, you can go find help. Which means you were just having trouble. What did I learn from getting a butt whooping for saying I hate you to my brother? Well, what I was learning is the antonyms to those words. Because saying I can't, lying, and saying I hate you were bringing me pain. So the opposite must bring pleasure, right? Tell the truth, love, and believe that you can. Those were the values, how I remember them getting instilled in me. And to this day, I still have them. Trying to transform to my kids as well in a different way than my parents did. Anything exterior should not give you your identity. Why are you going to watch someone doing something when you can go out in the world and do it yourself? Belief is a verb.
Do you remember these?
Yes.
You wrote this roughly around the same time in 92. Roughly actually when I was born, funnily enough. I saw the date on the top and thought, oh, that's a few days off after my birthday. And again, you put fatherhood number one, but there's a series of other things on this list of your 10 goals in life. As you reflect on those goals, do you wish you hadn't written any of them? And is there anything else you wish you had written?
No, that I wouldn't change a thing about it.
10 goals in life: become a father, find and keep a woman for me, keep my relationship with God, chase my best self, be an egotistical utilitarian. Take more risks, stay close to mum and family, win an Oscar for best actor, look back and enjoy the view. Just keep living.
I don't know what I'd add to that.
One of the things that you've talked a few times about is this idea of like you needing resistance.
Yeah.
You've said it two or three times. Yeah. And we're going back to what it is to be a man and what it is to be a well-orientated, stable man. Needing resistance. Is that a goal to aim for? Is that...
I think it's just a necessity for having more than just an individual life. The top of the high rise. You got to have some resistance to have some form. You got to push off of something to go somewhere. It's very hard when you're just floating and no gravity and no resistance to actually pursue a North Star. You have no leverage. Mm-hmm. You're floating. Where's the art? Probably more anarchy than art. So resistance gives form. Heard great artists say this. Limitations reveal style. Resistance. It's like in green lights. If life's just nothing but green lights, if you got no yellows and reds, no reasons to pause or crises that stop you, resistance? This, what are you, just going to go in circles? Till you run out of gas and get dizzy? I don't see that. How do we evolve or devolve without resistance? Now, picking the right resistance is an art in itself. It's challenging. I've been clumsy with it in my life. Especially when I got famous and got success. Man, enough people telling me I love you and the caviar and the champagne. I was like, what the shit? Why me? I don't deserve any of this. What did I do? And I'd things up on purpose just to say like, I trip myself running downhill so I could bloody my own nose and go, ah, now I can feel. Okay, now my heels are on the ground. It was clumsy. So I don't think we need the kind of resistance that we create that can harm us or get in our way for getting in our way's sake, because I've come to learn, and I think we all are. No, when things are going really well, resistance is going to come. If you have any ambition, resistance is going to come.
We often see resistance as a form of failure and something that we should endeavor to avoid. You think about the avoidance of like people building families, or even many people consider that we're living in a bit of a comfort crisis. This is slightly a different sort of analogy, but most of the diseases that we have today, whether they're diseases of, I don't know, the mind, like, you know, people feeling lonely and isolated, or physical diseases, 80% of Americans getting back pain, yeah. But no one in the Hadza tribe in Africa getting back pain. They're all a consequence of us continually choosing comfort, which is a short-term friend but long-term enemy. And resistance, I think, is something increasingly we can choose or opt out of.
It's a choice, too. I mean, can I hit a little poem that's on this subject? It's called Tips Included. And I wrote this based on participation trophies, entitlement, how too much of something can be just as harmful as not enough. How we all need good fortune, good fate, and charity sometimes, but we shouldn't rely on that. Okay? Called Tips Included. All right. When extra credit's included, credit doesn't get its due. When more gives us less, the exchange rate's gone askew. When amnesty is offered going into the crime, we're more bound to commit it because there's no fine. We start playing to tie instead of going for the win, when participation's the trophy for every cow in the pen. If I stay on the porch because you picked up the slack, when you look over your shoulder, I can't have your back. If there is no curfew, we're going to stay out all night. No tab at our bar, we're going to get drunk and start a fight. All these long lenses got us losing our sight. You keep lifting it from me, I'm going to lose all my might. When a 4-star duty suits a 6-star rate, we take our hands off the wheel and rely on fate. Eating all we can at the all-we-can-eat buffet gives us a 3.8 education and a 4.2 GPA. We steal from ourselves and get away with the scam. What's the measure of merit with less give a damn? These unlimited options sure have me confused, while all the conveniences are keeping me properly lubed. In this red light district,
with the horror of inflation. The ROI's math don't pay for vacation. So let's just admit it, this extra credit's quite a fluffer. Because when the tip's included, the service will suffer. The conveniences, the long lenses, everything's like, oh, and we've out-convenienced ourselves. What's AI going to do to us? Talk about convenience. How much, and I want to keep hearing studies, I wonder if you have an opinion on this. How much of you coming up with an idea and then writing and rewriting it, thinking about it, no, that's not our next word. Oh, no, this is what I really mean and how to get it done. How much of that is really valuable to get it beyond just an intellectual idea, more valuable than just going, ah, there it is. Because what comes out of AI, incredibly impressive. Our hunch is that, yeah, we can use it for like signpost to help us. Oh, that's good. That will help. Thank you for helping me organize. But there's a value to us going through the sweat equity of learning something.
The studies have just that have just come out using different things like ChatGPT have actually proven what you've just said to be true. That when people use AI to produce a piece of work, not only can't they recall what they've made, but they also start speaking in language more like the AI. So they start to lose their own voice. People like Richard Feynman, the physicist, has said the best way to learn something is to learn it and then to go through the pain of writing it, right, condensing it down to a simple truth like you do so often in your new book, Poems and Prayers, and then sharing it with the world and then getting the feedback. And if the world understood it like you meant it, like that poem you just shared, you understand it. That's evidence that you get it.
Right.
So I think AI is going to be great for me saying something to you, but not learning something myself. And I think if you want to defend creativity and innovation and the ability to think, you actually have a huge opportunity, which is to go left when everyone's going right.
Right.
And it goes to what you were saying there. You were talking about be careful when you mess with incentives. Like, be careful when you choose the easier road. Be careful of the unintended consequences. And AI is a prime example of an unintended consequence of you taking the easier road today.
Look, I still got to learn how to take a vacation. Because, you know, there's sometimes when the wind's at our back and we've earned it. Mm-hmm. There's sometimes when it's easy street and it's like, yeah, don't interrupt this, man. This is a sweet ass song. Trust that the hill's coming. Again, don't be so impressed with this. And don't, what I have to do is don't fall into when things are going really well, I go, ah, there it is. That's the mean. No, it's not. Not with any ambition, it's not. Or not with life happening, it's not. Yeah, you shoot for an A and make a C. It's better than shooting for a C and making an F. So go for perfection. Reality always comes in under it. But in that moment, when you see the inevitable reality, the outcome, the result, how quickly can we go, okay, but I got so much more out of it. The job, the person, myself, because I went for perfection. Then if I'd have just gone for, nah, dude, just pass class. But what can be hard for me sometimes is it can take me too long to come down from when, oh, it didn't hit perfection. Mm-hmm. And maybe it takes me a week to go, dude, now do you finally realize that, of course, you weren't going to get perfection, but you got so much more out of it because you went for perfection.
Yeah.
So be pleased with reality because you got a good grade on it, man. That was good. That piece of art wouldn't have been that true if you wouldn't have been. I always say this all the time, and I never mean this in a disrespectful way. I've never done a movie or a performance that lived up to what I thought it could be. Because I'm thinking it can be divine. It comes out, maybe majorly inspiring, may speak to masses. May even have some magic to it, but I don't think it's divine.
And I think that everything that's ever been built that's great or creatively brilliant has come from someone who has a big expectation gap. And of course, the very definition of that, you're never going to close it. And actually, probably the reason you then are motivated to move to the next thing and pursue divine again is because it wasn't divine last time. Maybe there's still something left on the table, and that's means you never arrive.
Right. But if you can find something that can keep you going, something, no matter how small, to look forward to and continually have faith in and chase, well, then your life here will be better than it is now, heaven or not.
What do I need to understand about your earliest context to understand who you are, the values you have, and the perspective that you view the world with?
Earliest on, basic values of respect yourself, respect others. Give a damn about yourself, give a damn about others. Combined with a mother that wherever we went in the world, if we might have been a little nervous to take a risk at, she was like, don't walk in there like you want to buy the place, walk in like you own it. So a sort of boosting up of what you could say is massive ego, but also you were not allowed to walk on your proverbial toes in our family. You were brought down. And if anyone in our family, if anything, I would say going back, I think mom and dad maybe could have been a little more lenient with the successes that we had. And let when we did parade, when my brother did win the track meet, and walk through the house like this, to allow him to do that. You weren't allowed to do that. You were immediately humbled, no matter if you were coming right off a victory or a win or a box office hit. You weren't allowed to. At the same time, you were raised up once you were humbled. That balance. We were taught resilience, heavy, heavy duty resilience, baseline gratitude. Quit asking me for new shoes. I'm going to introduce you to the kid with no feet. Whoa. Okay. Like sobering. Were these aphorisms from my mother? Yeah, but they were pounded into us, all right? At the same time, I spent 36 years thinking I was Little Mr. Texas because my mom told me I was. Until 36 years later, I look at the trophy and it says I was runner-up. And I go, oh, mom was like overselling us to ourselves at the same time. You better be humble. Sleep was sin in my household. Sin. I saw my dad asleep one time in my life. I got up at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning and went through the kitchen and peeked and I saw him sleeping. I went and woke up my brothers like, dude, but dad's still asleep. He actually died 2.5 months later and connected that idea that, oh, if he slept in that late, he must have not been feeling well. If it was daylight, you couldn't be inside. There's a fierce sense of independence. 30 minutes of TV a night max. Mom would always say, turn that damn thing off, get outside. You had to be outside. Like, get out in the world, go hustle, figure it out, be home at dark. That was just the understood rule. We always knew we were loved. There's never a question that we were loved. And mom would always keep on to make sure you're loving yourself. I remember breakups, heartbroken. She'd let us mourn. She was a great ear, very sensitive ear to that kind of to pains like that, broken hearts. But only for a day. After a day, she'd crank up the AC/DC, man, and go like, now, get up. You're worth it. Her loss. Come on. Get out of bed. Uh-uh. Come on. Uh-uh. Quit moping. Lift your head up. Come on. Come on, buddy. We got this. Uh-uh. Her loss. To give you the day, no more than that. Our love in the family was physical. No grudges. No grounding. You get in trouble, which we did. One, we were always guilty when we got in trouble. But it was corporal. It was take your licks. Get it over with, take your licks. We're not going to ground you because that'd be taking away your time. And your time is the most valuable thing you got. So take your licks. You're not going to get injured. It's going to hurt. And don't yell, because if you yell, one of the licks, you're going to get another one. The love was tough. The love was physical. We hugged. More than the hands soothed much more than they hurt, 999 times out of 1,000. But we were a physical, hugging, loving family. You always went to bed with an I love you and a kiss, even if it was ritual, which it was. Like a Sunday service, gotta wake up, even if I'm not listening to the damn preacher, I'm being subconsciously reminded that you should take a day out of the week to be at the most number two. That you should go get humbled and say thank you to a higher power and thank you for the things that you have in your life and thank you for the people you have in your life and helping those people double down on those great attributes that they have. People come and they, oh my God, I'm so sorry about your childhood. And I never felt like I wasn't loved. And it was hard love and it was tough love. And my mom and dad's love was passionate love. We knew we were loved.